on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's the Thanksgiving edition of YoteCast, and of course, a postseason edition of YoteCast as well. What a week in Vermilion. I know so many people look forward to the holidays. Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever it may be, so that you can go spend time with family, or maybe family comes to you, however it works for you. Maybe it's friends, whatever you do. Maybe you just like to hang out by yourself. But you don't have to be by yourself this year, because we've got postseason opportunities in Vermilion, and what a week. I know this is going to be extremely busy with Thanksgiving and whatnot, but I really hope that folks have an opportunity to head to Vermilion in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center on Friday as volleyball takes on either South Dakota State or Denver in the Summit League tournament. And then, of course, on Saturday, hopefully volleyball's playing for a Summit League title. Otherwise, football certainly will be in action in the first round of the FCS playoffs. Just the second time we've been able to talk about the Yotes in the FCS playoffs, and the first time a home playoff game since 1986. What an incredible opportunity. It shows the commitment. Obviously, this team has played well enough, and the coaches have done their job well enough that everybody is ready for postseason. They've earned their opportunity. But the administration, the athletic department, committed enough to get a home game in Vermilion. It's not only for the fans. It's not only for the coaches. But this is something that is for the fans as well. So it's for the team. It's for the coaches. It's for the fans. It's for everyone, because we all earned it, right? So a home opportunity, and I hope we can get a decent crowd, a good crowd in the Dakota Dome on Saturday for some football, because the Coyotes are going to need that support. Trying to get a rematch with North Dakota State in the next round of the FCS playoffs, but it all starts with Southern Illinois, who's obviously had a tremendous season. They're limping a bit into the playoffs, dropping three of their last four, but it's still a really good football team, are the Salukis, and we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit with Mike Reese. He's the play-by-play voice of the Southern Illinois Salukis. Also joining us on the show today is Sammy Slaughter, a senior volleyball player, an opportunity to play right here at home in the Summit League Volleyball Tournament, and obviously they're hoping for your support in that as well. And we'll get the episode started this week, as we always do, with the athletic director at the University of South Dakota, David Herbster.
David, I know it's a holiday week with Thanksgiving and all of that, but it feels like with athletics, we just keep rolling on regardless of the holiday, with the Summit League Volleyball Tournament hosted by USD this week. And of course, football gets the opportunity to host the playoffs on Saturday, selected into the playoff field. Let's start with football. Obviously an opportunity to play in the playoffs for the second time at this level. Very good for this team. They've been fighting all year for it, and good to see them get this opportunity.
Yeah, it's, you know, once you realize that only 24 teams make it out of what is 130 some odd FCS teams now, so only 24 make it, and of those 24, 11 are automatic qualifiers. So really, you have 13 at-large bids that people think that your body of work over the course of the season warrants coming into the tournament. So that's pretty special. You know, having been so long, you know, since 2017, and you know the changes that have happened over then, and the tough losses. COVID, you name it. But in that whole process was also kind of our building and moving upward, right? It's the renovation. It's, you know, step by step, brick by brick, getting things done. And so now putting ourselves in a situation to be back in the postseason, which I think is something that we should, I would like to think we should come to expect, but also realize how rare the opportunity is. I think what, and I didn't realize it had been this long, but to me what's more special is the fact that it's been 35 years since we hosted a home game, right? And that to me is just astonishing. I was in high school. I was a senior in high school the last time this team played in the playoffs. And that to me is just, that's how special this is. And to me, this is as much of anything a reason to everybody to get here, because, you know, you can't take something like this for granted. You've got to be here. You've got to show up. And because it's special, you don't know when it's going to happen again. So, but overall, with this team and what they did and the conversations we had and what this group set out to do back in the fall, to be in a position now to be able to host a home playoff game really brings it full circle. And now it's a new season.
You talk about being special to have a home playoff game, and it really takes a commitment of a lot of people. You have to get a lot of staff members on board to be able to make it work. It takes a financial commitment to try to secure that bid. What was the discussion like for administration to decide that this team deserved a commitment to trying to get a game at home?
I will always try to get a game at home. I would much rather be at home. I think it provides us not only a better opportunity to win, I think it's a service not only to this department, the team, the community, the state, our fans, to do everything we can to get a home game. I don't want to travel. So I'm not saying I'm doing this from a selfish perspective, right? But you know what? If we got a chance to play at home, I'm going to find a way to get us to play at home.
Fans sometimes get frustrated when they see that we have to play a team from our own conference. And if you win, you have to play a team from your own conference. And it's challenging when you get six teams in from your league. You're going to have some of that crossover. Has there ever been much of a push to try to make this a truly seeded bracket? Or how much say do athletic directors and others have in trying to make a push for change in that regard versus the NCAA deciding how they can best benefit financially?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? Because you take a look at those first-round games and you try to make them fairly regional, fairly close, right, when possible. It doesn't always work out that way. But the other thing that if you did a truly seeded bracket, you very well could run into a situation where you have two teams play each other in the first round that played each other during the regular season. That was one of the things that they wanted to try to avoid, right? So if you allow one, there's a ripple effect, and then these are the two downfalls. And I think you, having gone through it enough and seen enough of these little kind of intricacies, yeah, between coaches and ADs, yeah, we could change it next year, and then we'd want to change it because two other things happened that we weren't sure that were going to happen. But, you know, for us in Southern Illinois to play each other, well, we didn't play each other during the regular season, so I know it's a Valley team, and then we have to go right back. I mean, again, assuming and if we win, then you get to go back to Fargo, which, fine. But gosh, you're right. John, six teams, Valley teams, that's a quarter of the field. Yeah. We're going to we have to run into each other. But, you know, after the second round, I mean, half of the Valley will have eliminated itself from the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's as best as it can be right now until we can find a different solution. But even if we did, there's going to be other challenges with it.
Yeah, there will always be something that we're trying to make better when it comes to selections and playoff fields and some of that. Get an opportunity to make the Summit League Tournament an awesome place over this Thanksgiving weekend for volleyball. This hosting it is by virtue of a couple of years ago, this volleyball team earning it with a regular season mm-hmm. title. Obviously, there was a kind of a delay because of the COVID year and that kind of thing, but now a chance to host it, opportunity to really show off the Sanford Coyote Sports Center to maybe those who haven't seen it, but on a stage of a Summit League tournament.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. You think about it, I mean, we won this thing 2 years ago that now we finally get to host, but really excited for this one. I say that too, and hey, I'm going to be working the thing too. So, I mean, staffing is an issue. So, certainly anybody call me or actually, John, why don't you give me your email address, and you can be our broker for help for this weekend. but it's a wonderful opportunity to have. I love our chances here at home and being able to do it. I think we have a facility that really, really matches well with the type of format and the tournament that this is. And when we can have these types of events at home, again, not only it's like a home playoff game, it's a benefit to our community that we can bring these things here and certainly close enough for our fans to be able to get here. And come on, for, you know, Friday night, I mean, you're going to be tired and you're going to be done from Black Friday shopping, so you might as well, you know, get out and come see it. And by Saturday, if you haven't gotten out of the house, you're going to need to get out of the house. So hopefully, you know, knock on wood, we're playing on Saturday as well, that our fans can experience a championship here at home.
Yeah, it'd be great. And you know what's interesting about this volleyball tournament? A lot of times we go into the Summit League tournament thinking, there's probably two or three teams that really have the best shot at winning this thing. And this year's been a little bit different. We've seen some wins from everybody in this top six that it kind of might be the most unpredictable Summit League volleyball tournament we've had in a while.
you know what? You hit the nail on the head, because who would have saw? I mean, Kansas City beats Denver and Omaha the last weekend. I mean, so even South Dakota State making the tournament. This is one that's pretty deep. I would say four teams have a legitimate shot, and you give five. I mean, a lot would have to go right for five and six to kind of poke themselves in there. But I look at those top four, and any of them can win it. So that's what's really fun about coming to a tournament like this, because you honestly don't know who the favorite is going into it. Everybody can. Everybody has beaten each other.
You know, women's basketball is on a trip for this Thanksgiving weekend. They're in the U.S. Virgin Islands. I would bet you'd rather be with them, but home opportunities direct your attention here. But they get an opportunity to play some Power 5 teams in a place like the U.S. Virgin Islands. I know they've been on those trips before, but how do those type of trips come about for women's basketball, men's basketball, and some of our teams to get those opportunities?
Yeah, it's amazing the kind of that network of coaches and the people that put on these tournaments and who knows who. And I mean, this group really reached out to us to see if we would have an interest in playing in the tournament. And so, you know, I mean, when we had signed up for this, we were actually supposed to do this tournament last year. And because of COVID, it got canceled, so it got pushed back a year. So that's why it's that, you know, we're playing this thing now. But we'd really initially agreed to be in this thing over 2 years ago. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to go out there over Thanksgiving to get three games in. And, you know, again, when we first signed up for this thing, I mean, there were still teams back coming in and coming out, and even some teams that were supposed to be in a couple years ago aren't in it now. So you wash all that out, you get to play a Big Ten team, an ACC team, and an SEC team. So be careful what you wish for. But again, a great opportunity to go somewhere. You know, it's not all glamorous when they go there, right? Because of us having those night games and the things that you do have to do during the day from a recovery standpoint, you know, they're not going to be soaking up the sun on the beaches like you and I should be with them, right? It's almost a day and a half travel to get out there. It's just not an easy place. It's going to be about a day and a half travel to get back to play three games. Yep. But again, what a great opportunity to play some unbelievable competition over the holiday.
You know, men's basketball has had the opportunity here recently to play some home games. It's been really good for them. They've been some challenging games. They've seen a lot of free throws, a lot of fouls, some of that. Very athletic teams they're playing against, but they're finding ways to win some basketball games, which is important for this group.
It is, you know, and they haven't been exactly pretty games, but we found a way to win. And in some of those cases, we found different ways to win in each one of those types of games, and different players starting to step up. And this team is going to start to have to figure out its identity and who it is and what everybody can do and how and when they can contribute. But I think what's interesting, I don't know if you've seen this as well, but there's three or four guys on any given game, frankly, maybe all five, could end up being your leading scorer. You're going to have someone who might be a different leading rebounder. So from that standpoint, I think they're pretty deep, and you can't just focus in on one individual. Because at some point in time, if you start to sag off, someone else is going to step forward. So I think they're still looking for how that's all going to work. But you know what? Last year was a little bit of chugged our way into the league play until we really started to get it going. So now, whether it's the same way or not, this one might take a little bit longer. But in order for us to win games, we're going to have to play really, really good defense and rebound and take the offense as it comes.
Well, keep watching this team as it progresses. Let's do Ask the AD. I had a question submitted for actually our Monday night show, but I thought it was more appropriate for you. When it comes to Thanksgiving, you've got teams here. Obviously, volleyball's home. Men's basketball will be playing at Nebraska on Saturday, so they're around a lot. Football, obviously, is here for a home game. How do you handle Thanksgiving dinner for the athletes? Do the teams do their own thing? Do the athletes all kind of come together? How do you handle that type of thing for some of these athletes who don't have the opportunity to go home?
We cook a lot of turkey. No, we. The good thing is, and this is a really a unique year, right, with the home playoff game, with home volleyball, with home basketball. I mean, all kind of rolling together. A lot of times either football was done or we were on the road. And for volleyball, for the Summit League tournament, they've typically been on the road. So we haven't had this many athletes here. So we're going to have Thanksgiving dinner here on campus through Aramark, our dining hall, dining service provider, and Hy-Vee are helping to put on a Thanksgiving dinner for our athletes over in the student union at the Muck on Thursday. And so we'll have football players there because for them it's a full go practice week. For the basketball players that can't go home or don't have, aren't going home with another player, time to eat, volleyball, time to eat, and any of our other athletes, we'll be able to kind of put together a Thanksgiving dinner for them, compliments of, or with the help, I should say, of, it's never total compliments of, but with the help of Aramark and Hy-Vee.
Well, how about Thanksgiving for you? What is the dish that you make sure you don't miss?
So this year, I just said with Kate, my middle daughter Casey coming back, and then Morgan has to work. So it's really going to be, I said, girls, what do you want? Okay, so then they told me. They tell me, and then I cook it, right? So it's turkey, and I've got a corn, I don't know how to describe this. It's corn cooked in a crock pot with a heck of a lot of butter and cream cheese. It's really good.
Sounds awesome.
Oh, it's really good. I don't want to know the calorie content of that sucker. And then it was garlic mashed potatoes and whatever type of rolls or bread that they make, and then I make my own gravy as well. So that's going to be kind of our, and I let them decide, and then I go ahead and cook it, but typically it's been turkey.
Well, don't worry about the calories, because I think you'll walk it off between Friday and Saturday home events and stuff like that, so you get that chance.
I think you might be right.
David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and hopefully we can get a lot of fans here, and they can mesh this into their Thanksgiving.
Yeah, weekend. Well, we're going to need them. So, yeah, happy Thanksgiving, and appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. In sports, one team wins and one loses, but when it comes to bioethanol, we all win. Poet Biorefining Hudson, proud to be the local producer of environmentally friendly bioethanol and help create a competitive corn market for area producers. South Dakota will take on Southern Illinois on Saturday in the first round of the FCS playoffs inside the Dakota Dome in Vermilion, and the Coyotes hosting the Salukis. The two teams did not play in the regular season. We're joined by Mike Reese. He's the radio play-by-play voice of the Southern Illinois Salukis. Mike, first of all, I know it's exciting because it's playoff football, and we all appreciate playoff football, so you get excited about that. And then, of course, you got to see a Valley team in the first round, unfortunately, yeah. The way it goes, but still an exciting time for these guys.
Oh, I think so, John. And, pretty much in the FCS playoffs, you can't fall into the pool without hitting a Valley team. With six of them in there, a record, that's just incredible. Probably the best scheduling is if all the teams could play each other, but it's 2021 and the best doesn't always happen, and so it probably helps the FCS playoff people that there's always going to be somebody that didn't play each other during the year. And USD and SIU, that's the case for those two. And the additional one for Southern is North Dakota State. And so if Southern is able to win this game and go to round two, it didn't play North Dakota State either during the regular season. So it's part of the quirks and the way the Valley is in 2021. But it's exciting for Southern, and because it's two straight seasons in which the Salukis have been to postseason. And, of course, for South Dakota, they're hosting their first home playoff game, and that speaks for itself.
Talk to me about this season for Southern Illinois. They obviously went on that win stretch that was five games, a good win at South Dakota State in comfort behind fashion, and then kind of had a tough patch against good teams, Northern Iowa, Missouri State, and a tough one to end the season against Youngstown State.
Well, they got all the breaks in getting to 6-1, and then they got none of the breaks in getting to where they are at 7-4. When they were 6-1, John, there was no thought that Southern was going to be on the bubble and one of the last teams into the tournament, which they were. And there was every bit of feeling that Southern would be in the top eight. The Salukis got ranked as high as second during that stretch. And so wouldn't have to even be playing this weekend, let alone be playing on the road. And so that Southern is in this position is partially a disappointment. Now they'll right the ship, and I think they'll play against South Dakota on Saturday. But this is not what Southern expected back in October when it was rolling up games. And even though some of those wins were precarious, two of those wins came when the opponent went for two at the end of the first overtime and didn't get it, and the Salukis won the ball game. But they are also playing better than, John, than they're playing right now. They have too many turnovers, too many penalties, and not much offense during the last few weeks. And it's been two different seasons as a consequence. And so some of us are wondering, which team will play on Saturday. The good team for Southern, the cut-in team where all three phases are working, is a really good team and was a threat for the conference championship. The other one is the one that is still capable of winning, but it's the one that, along with Northern Iowa, were the last two teams into the tournament.
What's the feeling right now? You mentioned the disappointment that they're even playing in the first round because of the way the season ended, but this is a team that really has to quickly put all of that behind them to try to take on the playoffs.
Or they'll get blown out. You know, if they don't get their act together and get their minds right, and I believe they will, it's too veteran of a team. But vet can work both ways, John. 20% of Southern's players have played 6 years. This game for them will be 21 games in this calendar year. And though they're macho enough that they won't admit it, this game takes a toll. Now, some of the players say it isn't taking as much of a toll as they thought it would. But 21 games in 9 months is a big chunk. And I think that has a lot to do with it. And I think mental fatigue is part of it. It's not as new as it was in the spring when Southern was kind of a hot product and went to Weber and won, and there was a lot of energy, and Southern was making a big deal out of the fact that it was the one that was still playing while others quit the season, looking for reasons in a COVID situation. So there was a newness, there was a freshness. Well, now all of a sudden you lose a game and it's not as new, and one thing compounds on the other, and then the play suffers. And that's where Southern's been during this last month. It's postseason. Southern has good team leadership, and that is going to be a key. Those people taking charge of the club, the best teams are led by the players, and Southern's leadership needs to be strong and should be strong for this game with the Yotes on Saturday.
Mike, the last time that you guys came to Vermillion, it was 2019 in the Dakota Dome, and our fans really got to know, unfortunately, Javon Williams Jr., special player, a guy that defenses have to watch everywhere where he's at. He can run the ball, pass the ball, catch the ball, but I know between him and Justin Strong, they've really tried to get that ground game going.
Well, and there have been mixed results. Really, they're trying to get four guys involved in Williams and Strong. And Elliott and Donovan Spencer, who is a one-year player from Western Carolina, four talented guys. Three of them are alike. Williams is the different cat, and he can win a game as he did at the Dakota Dome 2 years ago. That was a terrific performance, and he can take over a game. He's been more of a running back this season. As many wildcat opportunities, so he's run out of the quarterback spot, hasn't thrown as much as maybe it appeared he was going to throw this season. He can be Southern's best thrower in terms of sheer distance. He can throw the ball 50 to 60 yards, which is the tops among the Saluki quarterbacks that I've seen. He can win a game, and he's also dangerous on punt returns, though he hasn't broken one yet. Simply because, especially at this level, John, he's hard to tackle. He can make people miss, and he has with a late move, and then he can also stiff arm you to get you off the tackle. And he's very good at that, especially against slighter defensive backs. There's no question that Javon Williams is capable of doing Saturday what he did 2 years ago in Vermillion.
Oh, and you're 245 pounds. You're going to be tough for a lot of those guys in the secondary to bring down. There's no doubt about that. I know they settled on early Nick Baker being the quarterback for Southern Illinois, and it looks like, for the most part, he's just held on to that position and continued to try to work through things.
Yeah, the guy he beat out left, and so when he didn't get the job. And so he has held it. He hasn't gotten hurt, which he did a year ago. He broke his foot, played a quarter with it against Northern Iowa, and then had to shut it down. Baker is going to end up with among the best passing numbers in school history. His interceptions are too high. He gets a little bit more than one per game. He had two last week in the loss to the Penguins. He can get a little casual with the ball. He can get a little too focused on Cox. He can get a little too focused on Lenore, the top receiver duo in SIU history. He will surprise South Dakota fans when they see him walk on the field because they may miss him at 5'8". He's not large, and they do a good job moving him so he's not standing there in the pocket unable to see beyond the line of scrimmage. But when you get him pinned in, and I'm sure that's a huge part of USD's game plan, is that's where he can be effective. Now all of a sudden the defensive tackle can swat the ball. Now all of a sudden he can't find the wide receivers, which is his strength. He's been a winner. He's got a state championship. He's got a state runner-up in high school. And he's got all of the numbers, and he's 10-4 as a starter. But the play, when they win, he has played well. When they've lost, he's thrown at least one interception and usually two. Southern doesn't live and die with Baker, but it controls the game when Baker is having a good game.
It helps having Avante Cox and Landon Lenore. You mentioned the best duo at SIU's ever had. Those guys are tremendous football players. How about defensively? I know they have gotten after the quarterback a little bit this year, 32 sacks for this defense. What has been the plus sides for this Saluki defense?
Plus sides are just what you mentioned. They can get at the quarterback without blitzing. In Knighton and Burner at the ends, and sometimes they move Burner to defensive tackle. He wears 92. Southern is strong on the defensive line, and they can overtake even the best offensive linemen in this league and can get to the quarterback, especially if the guy's not especially mobile. They do shoot the linebackers on occasion, rarely the DBs, but they don't really have to in order to get to the quarterback. They do cover the pass well. They covered it better when they had an All-American named James Caesar healthy and playing at corner. He's given way because of injury to a sophomore right now, and so to a freshman right now, second-year freshman, and so there's been the obligatory step down a bit at that position, though the replacement is going to be a very good player. You can run on Southern, and that's the negative on the Saluki defense, John. Youngstown proved that last week, and in this last month, the Salukis have struggled to stop the run game enough, and that's what I mean about controlling the game. When Baker's playing well and controlling the game, that includes time of possession. But when he isn't, then the opponent, if it has a capable run game, can gain control of the game and the game's tempo. And I think that's an important thing on Saturday, USD's run game, and can it maintain and can it make yards against a Saluki defense that has shown itself to be vulnerable to the run?
Well, I really think we're going to have a tremendous football game in this one. In the first round FCS playoff matchup should be a fun one between Southern Illinois and South Dakota. Mike, I appreciate your time very much. Thank you, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Sounds good. See you Saturday. Thank you, John.
He's Mike Reese, the radio play-by-play voice of the Southern Illinois Salukis. Gracious to give us some of his time on this Thanksgiving week. He's had a really busy week. Like a lot of people, he's been traveling with basketball, so really appreciate Mike's time as we get ready for the football game on Saturday. I also had a chance this week to catch up with Sammy Slaughter, a senior volleyball player at the University of South Dakota. Sammy, of course, started her career at Nebraska, ended up coming to South Dakota. She's been tremendous for the University of South Dakota. We're glad to have her, and we caught up this week to talk about not only the season, but her career and future plans.
Sammy, your team gets ready for the Summit League Volleyball Tournament, and I know a lot of excitement just having it at home. What's that like, knowing not only just to have it at home, but knowing the way the Summit League operates, you earned this opportunity a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I think it shows how hard we work during the season, not only this season, but the last seasons. I mean, we worked really hard two seasons ago to earn this spot for hosting, and I think it's going to be super fun, especially my senior year, to walk out on our home court and play that tournament.
You know, we were talking about this. You guys have gone to Denver a lot for the tournament and other places. How nice is it to be able to be at home in somewhat of a normal routine and not traveling for this tournament?
It's going to be nice. I mean, traveling to Denver is always kind of a hassle flying commercial, and I think that home court advantage is huge in the Summit League because every team is good, and when you get that time to grasp the home court advantage, it's great.
When you look at your team and your season, your team kind of went through some ups and downs in the non-conference portion of the season, and your team hadn't really gone through losses the way that you were in the non-conference. What was the challenge like for your group to try to stay the course and knowing that you had a good team and it would come together?
Yeah, I think it was challenging for us to come out. And, I mean, it's the same team as last year. We had a lot of success last year, and we weren't having the same success this year. We kind of decided, we sat down without the coaches, and we've had numerous meetings without the coaches about, like, what can we do to focus on our side of the court? And I feel like when we focus on our side of the court and we play as a whole team, we're hard to be stopped.
You look at the Summit League tournament field and just the Summit League season that you've had. A lot of success, obviously, for your team, earning the number two seed in the tournament. But it feels like maybe the Summit League volleyball tournament is a little more open than it has been in years past, the way we've seen some of the results shape up.
Yes, I agree. I think all six teams that are in this tournament, it's going to be challenging every single game. I mean, the fifth seed is ORU. We just lost to them earlier in the season. UMKC just beat Omaha. So it's going to be a battle, and it can be anyone's game.
When you look at your results against some of these other top teams, and obviously there have been some ups and downs, but you look at it, how confident is your team as you approach this tournament and go into it knowing that you've either been in the matches or you've beaten the teams that you've been that likely are going to be matched up with you in the semifinals and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, we have five seniors this year, and I feel like we all kind of want the same goal whether you're a senior or not. And I think that we're just determined, and we know if we focus on our side, we can get things done, but we got to play as a team.
You know, you talked about being a senior and an opportunity to play in this tournament, and you've had quite a journey in volleyball, beginning at Nebraska and then coming back to South Dakota, and then we had the weird COVID year. What has this journey been like for you?
It's been a roller coaster, but it's been really fun, and I wouldn't have taken these 5 years and went anywhere else. I mean, I loved Nebraska, and I loved the transition to USD, and I'm glad that I ended up here, but I'm just excited for this weekend.
How cool has it been for you, coming back to South Dakota, playing not so far from home? Your family easily can get there, and friends, things like that. But also to get the support of the USD fans who were very familiar with your name when you decided to go to Nebraska.
Yeah, they welcomed me with open arms, and I love it. I mean, it's so nice that I'm only 45 minutes away from home. Throughout this 3 years, I've literally been driving back and forth and grabbing my dog, who I'm obsessed with, who's currently with me right now. But it's been nice, and just how welcome they've been.
What kind of dog?
A miniature Cocker Spaniel.
All right. What's the dog's name?
Millie.
Millie. Yeah. All right. Millie is your world outside of volleyball.
Oh, absolutely,
right?
Yes.
So I was going to ask, what are your hobbies outside of volleyball? Obviously, playing with Millie is one of them. What else does Sammy Slatter do when you're not playing volleyball?
I like to snowboard. I haven't recently just because my dad doesn't want me to, because my brother broke his arm, and now he thinks that I'm going to get injured.
Yeah.
But I do like to snowboard. We recently just got a boat, and so I love going boating, really into wakeboarding, love reading, and just hanging out with my friends.
So since there aren't really the mountains in South Dakota, where's your favorite place to snowboard?
So usually we go to Great Bear, which is the smallest ski slope that you could possibly find. But we usually go to Colorado with my family.
Yo, Great Bear is nice, though. It is kind of a fun little opportunity.
It's like a 10-second ride down, and you have to wait 15 minutes to get up the slope.
But it's a thrilling 10
yes,
seconds,
it
right?
really is.
So as you look at your career and the way it's unfolded, and you look at this team, and obviously you've adapted your team very well, and people have gotten to know some of the great players on this team. Madison Juergens has been a big part of it. Elizabeth Junkie has been really, really good, and a lot of players on this team. What is this group like on and off of the court, and just kind of your relationship?
I think our team is very dedicated. I feel like a lot of our fans only know what the players are like on the court. They don't see like everything outside of, and we have a very tight-knit bond group of girls, and we rely on everyone for everything. Like, we also don't have captains on our team, and for a reason is because, like, anyone can be a captain at any given time. I think Evelyn, who's a sophomore, does a great job of speaking up and just saying things, and I think when we have captains, people feel like they're not allowed to speak their mind, and I think that was very cool what Leanne said when I first committed here. But I feel like big group of girls, we're all excited, everyone's committed, we're going.
You know, volleyball is a fun sport. It can be a lot of runs happen, and sometimes they work against you, and they're so hard sometimes to stop that streak against you. What's the communication like on the floor amongst your group when you're trying to not get over frustrated and stay focused to end a run to get flip back on your side?
We have two things that we really focus on. The first one is win the short game. So 5, 10, 15, 20. 25. So just win those short games, focus on those 5 points. Don't think in the future, don't think about the next set, don't think about the last set. The next thing is we want to serve 3 times and serve receive once. Once you do that, you can easily win the game.
When you look at just the way volleyball plays out and some of that, when you get on a run for your team and you guys are really clicking, how much fun is that on your floor?
It's so fun. I think our team is a very rhythm team. So once one person gets confidence and starts to get things going, then everyone follows in their footsteps. And I think it can be just literally one play. Like either Lolo gets a great dig or someone hits a ball like hard as heck down. Like I think that gets our momentum going and then everyone just hops on board.
What goes into preparation for a week for your team? Obviously, there are practices. I'm not sure how much film session your team does, but what goes into a week of preparation?
Usually, we're preparing for that team, like looking through their defense, looking through their offense, seeing how we can score, seeing how they score, and relying on how our offense is going to operate in our defense. I think with this tournament, it's going to be very hard because we don't even know who we're going to play. So you can't really focus on one team. So we're kind of just like kind of focus on our side. We haven't really focused on anyone at all yet. And I feel like we're going to have to wait until that Friday game to see our Thursday game to see exactly who we're playing. But I think we're just going to kind of focus on those two teams both.
Over the last few years, volleyball has really grown on the South Dakota fan base. How would you describe seeing the growth of the crowd for a lot of games and the attendance that your team gets and the support that they get for games at home?
It's amazing. I mean, the two games that really stick out to me was the Iowa game and then the NIVC championship. I have never seen that arena that packed before. And, like, knowing that everyone came out to support us and watch us was, like, really breathtaking, and I think that really hypes us up.
Well, how do you get those fans there for this tournament to get that crowd crazy again?
I mean, that's going to be a difficult one, yeah. Thanksgiving, but they got to show up.
Obviously, it's a big tournament. Your team has a goal to win the whole thing and go on to the NCAA tournament. As a senior, and you've obviously been around this group a lot, what do you feel like you need to see out of your team to have an opportunity to reach their goals?
I think everyone needs to play as a team. I think we can't be tentative. I mean, we got to take big risks. We got to swing hard. We got to serve hard. We got to serve receive. And I think if we just focus on our side of the court, we're going to be hard to beat.
Hope there's a lot of volleyball left for you. What's next for you after volleyball is done, or what are your future plans?
It's bittersweet, but after I'm done at USD, I'm going to be done with volleyball. I'm going to move back to Sioux Falls, move in with some of my high school teammates I played volleyball with that are still my best friends to this day, and I'm gonna start a career of marketing.
All right. Well, good luck with the marketing career, and good luck with the volleyball. Really appreciate your time, and we're hoping for a lot of success for your team. Thanks.
Thank you.
She is Sammy Slaughter, a senior volleyball player for the University of South Dakota. Sammy was named honorable mention to the All Summit League volleyball team. Her and also Madison Juergens were named honorable mention for the first team representing South Dakota. Madison Harms, who's been tremendous this year, and of course Elizabeth Junkie, who's had herself a tremendous career at USD. Matt Buttermore is the coach of the year in the Summit League. He is from Omaha. They are having a fantastic season. Sadie Limbeck of Omaha is the player of the year. The setter of the year, Sammy Clarkson. Defensive player of the year, Maddie Wren from Kansas City. And Haley Green of Denver, the freshman of the year for the Omaha Mavericks. So obviously they have been very, very good in their time for their respective teams. The Missouri Valley Football Conference also announced the specialty awards for football this year. Jason Shelley was named the Offensive Player of the Year and the Newcomer of the Year. Jared Brinkman of Northern Iowa, the Defensive Player of the Year. Dimitri Crenshaw of Youngstown State, the Freshman of the Year. And Matt Entz of North Dakota State was named the Coach of the Year. The full all-conference team is set to come out on Monday, and the full all-newcomer team will come out on Tuesday for the Missouri Valley Football Conference. I don't mean to disrespect anybody who is on this list, because I think these are tremendous players, coaches, whatever. But I've got to throw this out there. You know, North Dakota State has long been the king of the Missouri Valley Football Conference. They built something special. They continue to reload each and every year. It's an expectation that North Dakota State will either win or compete for the conference championship year in and year out, right? The University of South Dakota was not exactly picked high, was not exactly picked as a favorite in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. The Coyotes struggled in the spring. They had a tough year the year before that. They just were not given the respect towards the top of the league. Yet the Coyotes go into the final week of the regular season, and I realize it didn't go well against North Dakota State, but they go into the final week of the regular season with a chance to win a share of the Missouri Valley Football Conference title. How is that not Coach of the Year? How is Coach of the Year not someone who has led their team out of really no expectations into a group that is in expectations? Nobody was picking South Dakota outside of those in our building. Nobody was picking South Dakota to go to the playoffs this year. Nobody was picking South Dakota to compete for a Missouri Valley Football Conference title. Yet here we are. They're in the playoffs. They had a chance at a share of the conference title at the end of the year, and yet Bob Nielsen still not named a Coach of the Year. Sometimes I don't understand what goes into the mind of voters. Now, I will say this. I'd vote for the All-Valley teams and all these specialty awards, but you cannot vote for anybody for South Dakota. So we could not give any love to any of the South Dakota representation that was nominated or whatever it may be. So really a disappointment across the league and the voters and how they see things. I get it. North Dakota State wins the Missouri Valley Football Conference title. It shouldn't always go to the team that wins. Certainly if a team comes from the bottom and they win it, I totally get it. When a team like South Dakota is picked to really not even be in the top half of the Missouri Valley Football Conference this year, Coyotes go 5-3 in Valley play, right in a lot of those games, and I don't get it. I don't understand. You knew North Dakota State was going to have a good year because they're loaded. They've got a ton of talent. Coyotes are building their program, there's no doubt, but I just don't understand things like this and how voters see it. So everybody's got their opinion. Now you know mine, and certainly strongly feel like, and call bias whatever you want, but I feel very strong that Bob Nielsen deserved a lot more respect in the Coach of the Year situation. All right, before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics. The women's basketball team is in the U.S. Virgin Islands. They play on Thanksgiving against Northwestern. It's a 4:45 start time for that matchup. There's also two volleyball games going on at the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. Kansas City plays Oral Roberts. South Dakota State will play Denver. The winners advance to the semifinals on Friday. That's where you find USD volleyball. They'll play in the second game on Friday, second semifinal, 7 o'clock against either Denver or South Dakota State. So hopefully the Yotes are ready for that one, and whoever they play, they can try to advance to Saturday's championship. Women's basketball will take on a top 25 opponent in Texas A&M on Friday night, 7 o'clock start time in the U.S. Virgin Islands as part of the Paradise Jam. On Saturday, women's basketball continues in the Paradise Jam. They'll take on Pitt. That's a 4:45 start time. The Volleyball Summit League Championship is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Men's basketball is on the road in Lincoln, Nebraska. They'll take on the Cornhuskers. That's a 1 o'clock start time in the afternoon on Saturday. In football, against Southern Illinois, of course, FCS playoffs, 5 o'clock kickoff time inside the Dakota Dome. Hope you can join us for all of that. And coming up next week, men's basketball will play at San Jose State on Tuesday night. That's a 9 o'clock Central Time tip time because it is 7 o'clock out in San Jose, California. Of course, Tim Miles, the head coach of San Jose State, the native of Doland, South Dakota. So that's what's going on in Coyote Athletics. Catch a game, match, or meet soon. And for all of the ticket information, whether it's Summit League Volleyball, football, whatever it may be, go to goyotes.com. All of the ticket information is there for you. That is it for me for this week. I hope you have a tremendous Thanksgiving, however you choose to spend it, whether it's with family, friends, solo, whatever it is, I hope you have a tremendous Thanksgiving, even if you have to work. Whatever you do, have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll look forward to seeing you coming up this weekend at Coyote Events, and it should be a lot of fun. I'm John Thayer. Have a great rest of your week and weekend, and until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.